Here we are, it's February 7th, 2023, and this is episode 20 of season 2 of the More Math for More People podcast. Cheers! Hello everyone, I'm Misty.
And I'm Joel.
And this is the More Math for More People podcast, brought to you by CPM Educational Program.
On this podcast, we discuss the CPM curriculum, trends in math education, and share strategies to shift instructional practices to create a more inclusive and student-centered classroom.
We also highlight upcoming CPM professional learning opportunities and have conversations with math educators about how they do what they do.
And we always try to have a little bit of fun and laughter as well.
Indeed we do. So come and find out what shenanigans we're up to on this episode. Boom. Here we are.
Here we are.
What is the national day today, Joel?
We're kind of celebrating two today. Woo-hoo! One is E-Day and one is Periodic Table Day.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool that they're both on the same day.
I know. I think so too.
National E-Day.
Yep.
I will admit, I don't really understand E. I mean, I know like it's, you know, it's just like infinite something and you can use it for natural logs and it shows up in nature somehow and things like that. But Joel, what is E? Tell us, please.
So E is, like you said, it's a number and it's one of the ways that I really saw E one time is, shoot, and I'm going to get this wrong maybe, but in our curriculum, I believe it's in the algebra book and the integrated one book, and there's a lesson on compound interest. And you start with $1,000 and then you keep going, compounding more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And then it ends up being that number E, which is kind of cool.
Right. Well, that's where I feel like it comes up and it's like, it's one of those like, oh, it's a useful number for doing things.
Right.
But like for me, it's harder for me to understand E than to understand pi. Like I feel like they're similar, right? They're transcendental numbers, right? Is that what they are? Because they don't repeat and they don't end and yada, yada.
Yeah.
But like it's like I have a better grasp of pi because it, even though it's like a ratio, whatever, and then it's used in lots of different ways, but it feels like it comes from something. Like it's this magical thing about circles. But like I don't really, like I get, what I understand about E is like, oh, you can, it's infinite sums. An infinite series, is that the word? A series, something. I'm using the word wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, other than that, it's like, oh, it's just sort of magical.
It does feel kind of magical a little bit, but I know it's really useful, or it has been used, I should say, a lot with logarithms, navigation, things like that. So John Napier was using it to do those things. And I believe it's called E because Euler, right?
I'm going to take your word for that. Sure.
Okay. I think that's true. I know Euler's formula anyway as well. You can't see here in our podcast, but I do have a tattoo. And on this tattoo, Euler's formula, E to the I pi plus 1 is equal to 0. I have that tattooed. I think that's such a cool idea that to me, those are like the five most important numbers in math. E to the I pi plus 1 equals 0. I think that's pretty cool. So to me, E is a little bit magical like it is to you. It just is kind of a cool number. I haven't investigated it a lot, I guess.
Well, and it, as if I remember right, it's approximately equal to 2.7 something, 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 which would make sense why it's today, right? Because today is 2.7 for the 7th of February.
Well, and the number is 2.718281828.
Would have been so great if we were doing this podcast in 2018.
Yeah, dang it. My gosh.
Oh, well. Okay, so it's National E Day, and those of you who are more advanced mathematicians than Joel and I would be excited about that for lots of reasons, I suppose.
That's right. But it's also
National Periodic Table Day, which is I'm excited about because I really enjoy science and I think the periodic table is very, very cool because one of the things, well, there's many things that are cool about the periodic table. So I used to do a unit in science, and my kids would, you know, learn how Dmitri Mendeleev, you know, did all this stuff. And he was very obsessed with trying to figure out how to organize elements and, you know, sorted all this stuff and eventually figured out like, oh, these elements are really similar in these ways and found a way of organizing them before we knew about the structure of the atoms. Hmm. Right. Because the coolest thing to me is like, whoa, you just change the number of protons and it's a completely different thing. But we didn't know that. And we didn't know that like the number of protons, like, determines what kind of atom it is. And he figured out a structure and a system and actually predicted there were some blanks because there were some things we hadn't discovered yet, some various sure. chemical elements we hadn't discovered, that he predicted things about them, their properties and some of their atomic weights and some stuff like that, that he predicted before we discovered it. And then when it was discovered, it fit into his structure. And the other thing that's really interesting is that, so from the periodic table, you can get a lot of information, right, from mm-hmm. elements. It's a representation. But it's not the only way to organize them. Like I would, you know, remember showing my kids lots of other different quote unquote periodic tables, right? Just ways of showing and representing the elements that were based on other properties than just their atomic numbers and some other things. Yeah. So it's very cool. I think there's so much information we can get from it. And it's a representation that is linked to their actual structure, which is.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, how are you going to celebrate this day?
How am I going to celebrate National Periodic Table Day? Well, I probably still have somewhere my periodic, or at least I did for a while, my periodic table from high school, because we could use our periodic table in our test. So it has all kinds of weird, wacky notes all around the edges of it and stuff.
That'd be fun.
Maybe I'll try to find that.
Yeah.
What are you going to do for National Periodic Table Day?
I haven't decided yet. I'm going to have to think about that one.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like a cop out to me, but fine.
It is a big cop out. That is as non-committal as I can be.
pretty much. Well, go out and you can celebrate National and or Periodic Table Day. You can choose. You can celebrate both. You can celebrate one or the other. Or you can celebrate none. That is also a choice that you have.
Many choices. Love it.
How's it doing, Joel?
It's doing good.
Oh, man. Well, so we got a new newsletter out.
I saw that. The January newsletter.
January newsletter. Doop-a-doop-doo. Yeah. So this time I think we were going to just sort of like talk about a little bit like the highlights of what things in the newsletter.
Sure.
And remind you where you can go get it if you didn't get it directly, you know, sent to you.
Well, I was going to say, I get the email, but also something I noticed on the website is it used to come as a red bar newsletter now available. I just noticed it's just part of the screen. So it didn't pop out to me as soon. Somebody else feels the same way, but it's there and you just click on it and it's right there.
It's a banner right across the top of the CPM.
Banner at the top.
Yep. That's right. I think it's on every single page that you might look at on the CPM.org.
Yep, I think you're right.
So yeah, so January newsletter's out. You can click on it. It pops up. You can read it. You can download it, look at it. And I think there's a couple things we wanted to point out are there in the newsletter this year or this.
Yeah.
I'll say that again.
For January, the first one of this year.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yes. But it is for this month. One is there's some updates on the fifth page. There's some two notices that I wanted to draw people's attention to.
Yes.
One is for the TRC. 10.0 applications. Wow. I always wonder, is there a 10.5? Is there a 9.6? No.
Well, or is this year 10?
It is year 10. Yes. Yeah. It is. Yeah. It is TRC 10, but it's listed as 10.0, which is very cute. Precision's important. For the 10th cohort of the TRC. Mm-hmm. So the applications are open for that. And if you're not sure, what is this TRC, this Teacher Research Corps? We're going to put a link to our conversation with Mark Cote from episode 4 of season 1.
Yeah.
And there'll be a link there for you if you want to go and listen to our conversation with Mark Cote. He tells you all about the history of the TRC, all the things that they do, what you would be required to do, etc. You could also, there's a link to the blog and you can find more information about the TRC and the applications, which I think are due on
March 31st.
March 31st. Excellent.
I'd also encourage, look at that blog, and one, there's some great information there, but two, the current TRC group is posting, and you could reach out to them mm-hmm. with questions, and however they're involved, they would be happy to share with you.
Yeah. Yeah. And there'll be a lot of the TRC people presenting both sessions and posters, and there'll be information additionally at the teacher conference at the end of this month.
Absolutely.
If you're going to be at the teacher conference and want to talk with one of the TRC people, you could definitely do that as well.
Yep.
And then additionally on that page, there is more information, another announcement about
ABP, which stands for Academy of Best Practice. And if you're interested, we talked to Bruce Brusso about it on episode 23.
Yep.
And
of season one, because we haven't gotten to episode 23 of this season yet.
That's true. And it is just a great event. Math teachers of all kinds just come and learn best practices for teaching. Mm-hmm. And it's a great event.
And it's really well supported, you know, so again, you could apply for that. And the deadline
date of the event is August.
Yeah. And what is the deadline for applications? I feel like it was May. I think it's like May 1. But there's information in the newsletter. You can go and click it and find all the things.
Click on those links. Mm-hmm. Look it up. It is well worth your time
to attend
that event.
Totally. All right. So those are two things in the newsletter. And then there's several great articles for sure. Mm-hmm. There's an article about G. Kish and a word she received. There's a couple of articles related to emerging multilingual learners, which I think are really valuable. One about making mistakes, which I think is also really valuable to always remember that making mistakes is good, even though it's painful sometimes.
And I know that we're kind of ramping up to that teacher conference in San Francisco. So a lot of these will be talked about there as well.
Absolutely.
But I really like the articles about the site-based leadership and how it's going so far. Hopefully your site is getting involved with that.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff in the newsletter. Check it out. The next one will be out in March, so you have plenty of time to read it. So we're here today with Krista Holstein and Karen Wooten. Krista is one of our writers in the curriculum and assessment department, and Karen is the president of CPM and also the director of curriculum and assessment. And we are here today to talk about some exciting things that are coming out. Some of this has been in the newsletter, and there's been some other announcements about it for sure. But this is the first time we've talked about it on the podcast, and there's going to be a lot more information coming out about it soon. And that is the Inspiring Connections curriculum that CPM is developing and will be launched and available very soon. So Krista and Karen, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, welcome you two.
Thank you so much. Exciting to be here.
So just to start off with, so we're putting out a just new curriculum. It's the first time CPM's put out a major new curriculum in quite some time since the Core Connections came out in sort of 2011 to 2015-ish, right? So tell us, what is this new curriculum?
Yeah, what is it?
Yeah, what's going on?
Yeah, so Inspiring Connections, or IC, it's our new curriculum. And I mean, you know, CPM has been around for a long time. Core Connections has been around for a while, and it was becoming time to say, all right, let's see what else is out there. What new research is out there that we can build on and create a new curriculum? And so Inspiring Connections is the title of it. Right now, it includes middle school courses, grade 6 through 8, and will include high school in the future. It is still a CPM curriculum. It's based on the three pillars. We have collaboration in every single lesson. There's study, team, and teaching strategies in every lesson. We have the problem-based learning. Each lesson is built around one or more problems that students are exploring in teams. And the mixed-based practice, the lessons, and the independent practice give students the opportunity to revisit the topics over time. So all of these things that CPM stands for are still embedded in the Inspiring Connections curriculum, including all the professional learning opportunities that come along with it. So, I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Okay, so make a new curriculum. Does it replace Core Connections? Is it an add-on to Core Connections? Like what's new? What's different? What's the same? How does it fit?
It is a different course. So it isn't like you could get this and have both in the same classroom. Mm-hmm. That won't work. It is a different course. We did rethink the storyline to make things flow a little better. But I think one of the key things is that we've learned a lot mm-hmm. in the last few years mm-hmm. that has affected everything that we do in our classrooms. And so we wanted to make sure we could incorporate everything new that we've learned.
Cool. What are some of those things that we've learned?
Well, a lot. In 10 years, believe it or not, there's been a lot of research yeah. in the last 10 years. Yeah. So some of them that we have embedded into the Inspiring Connections curriculum include Peter Lilliedahl's Building Thinking Classrooms, Smith and Stein's 5 Practices for Orchestrating Productive Math Discussions, Mandy Jensen's Rough Draft Talk, Dan Meyer's 3-Act Tasks, Instructional Routines and Math Language Routines, Growth Mindset Work from Carol Dweck and Joel Bowler, lots of new research on reflection and self-assessment and formative assessment, all the beautiful work that Hattie has done, and then using work from Medina and Brain Rules. There's just been so much research that this incredible group of writers, I say humbly, has brought together. We all have so many different skills and such different backgrounds, these former teachers coming together to form a new curriculum. And bringing all of these new techniques, routines, and research into a curriculum. And in addition, there's also a lot of new technologies out there that weren't around before. And so, and more schools have access to devices and to the internet than ever before. So that it can also be a part of the curriculum.
That sounds awesome. Do you need to use the technology here?
The technology is part of the curriculum, yeah. So as cool. as part of the approach of Inspired Connections, it's multimedia. So students have a mathematician's notebook, which is a place for them. It's kind of like an outline space for them to take their notes. And we call it a mathematician's notebook because they are mathematicians, and this is the space for them to take those notes. And
they're actually writing in there. And
they're actually writing with pencil. Yeah. Yep. Awesome. And in addition to that, we have a new updated ebook system it's a whole new curriculum delivery platform that includes dynamic e-tools. It includes the ability for the teacher and the students to interact with each other via pacing the lessons. And it's extremely powerful. And so, yeah, the technology is a requirement, and it's important because the lessons were designed based on whatever media was most appropriate for that lesson. Like whatever is going to help the students learn the mathematics the best, whether it be up at a vertical non-permanent surface or working at their tables, writing in their mathematician's notebook, or working with their ebook in the new curriculum delivery platform. The lessons were specifically designed for the venue that was going to maximize their learning.
Wow. Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of really exciting changes and additions and enhancements. And I love that, you know, it's taking what CPM has always done, looking at how people learn and, you know, how we know and understand that people learn best, and then putting those together with a lot of new strategies and a lot of new understandings that have come out over the last few years. So it's like a big update and also rethinking. So that sounds great. What's the time frame? People are always asking, like, well, when can I get it? When can I see it?
We are planning on having the middle school programs ready for the 23-24 school year. We are having some issues with getting the mathematician notebooks printed because there's still supply issues.
Wow.
Hopefully everything will be resolved by then. Mm-hmm. We have been using the California math adoption as our target for getting middle school plus algebra or integrated one completed in time for the California adoption, which is now in 2025.
Wow.
We think. He's getting changed. And then after that, once we complete those for the California adoption, we'll move on and start working on the other high school courses. So just take some time afterwards.
Yeah.
Be finished for the adoption.
Right.
Got it. Just to reiterate what I hear you say, though, like, so middle school available soon for this coming year, 23-24.
Correct.
And then, but the rest of the high school courses somewhere else down the line.
Correct.
Well, this is all very exciting. Excited to hear this. We're planning to, I know we've kind of recapped all these big changes and things really sort of briefly here, just so our listeners know, we are planning to have more in-depth conversations with various writers who are working on each of these different areas over the next few podcasts. So be sure and tune in for that and find out more as we really dig into like, what are some of those supports? What does the platform look like or how does it operate? What are some of the other things that have been added in so that you can get more details about that and understand it? Anything that we should have asked that we didn't ask?
I don't know if we want to say anything about the conference and the sessions.
Sure. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. That was a great idea. Yes, please. Tell us what's happening at the conference for Inspiring Connections.
I think Misty has been generous and given us two whole sessions to be able to present on Inspiring Connections, where teachers, if they come to the sessions, will be able to experience some of the new lessons, experience some of the different venues. If we have it already, then this new curriculum delivery platform, we're not sure how it'll work in a room with a bunch of people in the internet there and all, but they'll at least be able to see what it's like and how it works. And then we're also having two 30-minute Q&A sessions just about Inspiring Connections. So if you just want to come and ask questions, you can do that too.
Awesome.
Yeah. So if you're attending the conference, we hope you are, going to be almost 500 people there.
Wow.
Then, you could take part in one of those sessions or go to the Q&A.
Or just pull one of the writers aside and pick our brains for a while.
That's right.
We'll be happy to talk about it.
They'll have a big sign on that says,
I'm a writer.
I was going to say, we need a special sticker.
Yeah. I think we are planning to do some kind of little special stickers or.
Yeah, we're going to have stickers or something that says, I inspire connections. And then that means you could ask us or something like that.
Cool. We'll look for that.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Karen and Krista, thanks so much for coming on the podcast today. And we look forward to learning more about Inspiring Connections over the next few episodes of the podcast and also in the next few months. I'm sure there'll be lots in the newsletter and everywhere else. So thank you so much for helping us get the ideas going.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thanks for talking today.
All right, for this next section, Joel and I are going to try to sort of recreate a conversation we just had.
We were just having this conversation.
That we wished we had recorded. We were like, oh, man. So we're not going to like do a dramatic reenactment of it or anything like that. But we're going to try to sort of just, you know, still talk about the same things we just talked about with the same depth and passion and it came out really great. If you had been in either of our offices as a fly on the wall during that conversation, you would have been amazed.
You would have loved it.
So let's see if we can even get close.
And you'll love it now.
Well,
now you're the fly on our wall. Now.
Perhaps. Yeah. So we were talking about, Joel and I have been in the field a lot over the last few weeks. And we get to observe and talk with lots of teachers and work with them. Teachers that are, you know, a lot of times in their first year of implementing CPM, maybe in their second year, sometimes more experienced teachers, just to kind of depends on the situation. So, but we were talking about this and one of the things we often tell each other stories about, oh, you know, this happened. Here's something I saw this teacher do. And wow, that was really cool. Or wow, I saw this teacher do a thing. And I'm like, oh man, I wish teachers would do more of that or sometimes do less of that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things, it was a kind of funny thing that happened in one of the classrooms that I was in recently, was an example of a time where I think about how much teachers listen to and then respond to what their students say to their questions, right?
Okay.
I often sit and listen to what teachers say and what their questions are asking. And I ask myself, like, if I were a student, do I understand what I need to do right now? Or how would I answer this question, et cetera? And then listen to what students say and how the teachers respond, right? So this one, where there's a lesson where is a sixth grade lesson and in CC1 where they're starting and it's one where Croaky the Frog is doing all these, gets a special, you know, hip hop jump dance, whatever thing.
He's doing his things.
And there's a part where the idea is that, oh, we don't know how long his hip hop jump is. And so we have to represent it with a variable, right? So they're starting to look at variables and that variables could take on are not always just an unknown, but could actually have different values depending on what we set them equal to. Right?
What we're looking for.
Yeah, totally. What the situation is. So the teacher was, you know, reading the lesson intro with the students and everything. And the teacher asks this question. The teacher says, well, if we have a length that we don't know, what will we use? Right? And the teacher was wanting to get at a variable, right? And one of the students goes, we'd use a ruler.
Yeah.
Which made me just laugh because it's true. If I have a length that I don't know, what do I use? A ruler. I measure
absolutely.
It, right? And particularly because these kids had just been doing science fair and lots of other things. It seemed like it was like, that's a very reasonable response. And it made me chuckle to myself. And the teacher chose to just, I don't know if the teacher didn't hear it or just didn't respond to it.
Right.
Right. The teacher just ignored that response entirely and kind of reworded the question and asked the question differently and so on.
To get them to.
To get to a variable, right? Because that's what they're going to. That's what they were going to talk about today. And so it was interesting to me to just think about, there are times in our classes, I think, where we get a response that we don't expect, right? Mm-hmm. And we have choices in how we respond to that, right? We can choose to ignore it. And sometimes that's appropriate, right? We can choose to say, no, that's wrong, right? And correct it. We can choose to just acknowledge it and move on. We can choose to be curious about it and ask the student like, That's really interesting. Why do you think that? And I think that those choices then can move the conversation in different directions, as well as have impacts on the student, right? When we were thinking about sharing math authority and various other things, how we respond can help or hinder students feeling that they have, their ideas are good ideas, that they have contributions, that they are mathematicians, you know, all those kinds of things. How we respond, because regardless, we always have status in the classroom.
Yeah.
Can impact students in that way. So it was really interesting. It was a sort of comical situation, but it really got me thinking about this whole sort of what we're doing as teachers.
Yeah. Well, if we're focused in on like where we're launching, where we're going to close, what is that end goal? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes we probably think about, okay, well, I don't want to go down that road. Mm-hmm. Maybe I do. Maybe it's
do I have time for this?
But I love what you said about it. There is a choice there. And in the moment. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't think any of those particular choices is necessarily right or wrong.
Right.
Sometimes, thinking about what is the larger goal that we want at that moment, right? Is the goal that I, 1 minute left and I really want them to get to this point, right? I might choose something different than if the goal is, some bigger conversation or what have you. So I think that it's always kind of thinking about, we can sometimes get too fixed on a particular goal that is my, as the teacher, way of thinking, right? What I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. And I think we can get kind of locked into that and it sort of, sort of like think about what are the other responses we could have.
Well, I'd be really interested too to throw out some of the scenarios that you saw and hear responses, mm-hmm. even of how other teachers might think, not even being in the moment to understand that kind of pressure, but just know that there are those choices and build a kind of a toolkit almost.
Yeah. I think this circles back to some of the conversations we had with John Hayes that we had about talk moves, mm-hmm. right? And sort of like thinking about what is the conversation? What are we trying to get from it?
I know in my travels this
you
month.
You had an example, right? Yeah.
Yeah. The students were working on tile patterns. Mm-hmm. And they were coming up with how does it grow? What's figure zero? What's figure 100? What's figure 5? Things mm-hmm. like that. And a student explained something. The term that the student used was, well, this thing duplicates. And it was something I've never heard before. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, wow, that was so cool that I got to hear something that I've never thought of before, one. But then it brought up to how we honor mistakes. And like my favorite no is a common thing that we've talked about. But also my favorite success maybe in this moment, because it was so cool to hear different ideas that I've never heard before. And I could have held them after that bell and talked for 2 hours about that thing. But it just made me feel good.
Yeah.
And teachers in that moment. Honoring that and investigating those things is totally great. Not having to get to an end point, maybe even, or like push that.
Well, and I think you said, even when we were talking about this before, I think you said something about the teacher was like, oh, I don't understand what you mean.
Right.
Can you come up here and show it?
Yeah.
Right. I think that is, again, it's like one of those places where we can be curious about what a student means and I don't have to know exactly everything and all the answers and always know what's going to happen.
And vulnerable to say that.
Totally. Yeah.
And be part of the group and investigate.
Yeah, just one of the fun things we get to do being in classrooms all the time.
It's so great.
See lots of different ways of responding to students and doing math.
I love it.
So that's a wrap for this episode of the More Math for More People podcast.
For more information and to stay connected, you can find CPM on both Twitter and Facebook.
The music for the podcast was created by Julius H. and can be found on pixabay.com. Join us for the next episode of More Math for More People. What day will that be, Joel?
It'll be February 21st, Patsky Day. This beautiful holiday that comes around on Fat Tuesday is just a really great tradition. It's a patsky is a pastry. It's a donut, and it's filled with a cream, maybe a berry. They're just a pillow of such deliciousness. A couple of years ago, I started celebrating Patsky Day, and I actually, in Salt Lake City, I can't order them here, so I actually ordered them from a place in Detroit, Michigan, and they send them out, and at our home, it's always a great moment to be able to open that box.